Hello everyone, my name's Charlotte Chee and I'm a compulsive overeater and a very proud member of this fellowship. Just before get started, I just want to talk about the big numbers. My bodily recovery, which I will talk about how I've achieved that. So I came into OA at 27 stone, for those who aren't in the UK. Hopefully you'll be able to get your phones out and work out what that is. And today, I'm 20 stone, just 7 stone, which is a hell of a lot of weight to lose. It's about 100 pound, I believe. But for me, one of the most beautiful things has not been so much about the weight, it's been everything that's come with the weight, which hopefully I'll talk about. So my story of being a compulsive overeater starts as early as I can remember. I don't normally come to these share meetings, so if there's any rules around food that I should know, please somebody interrupt me, but otherwise, one of my first ever memory was going to bed with a tub of beef dripping, literally beef fat, congealed beef fat, putting it under my pillow. No intention of eating it, but if that was there, I knew I was safe. My sister, she had the same thing, except hers was a teddy bear, an elephant called Mr. Flump. As long as Mr. Flump was there, my sister would be okay. Nothing could harm her. As long as Mr. Flump was there. And for me, it was that tub of beef dripping. And from that earliest age, it didn't matter whether I ate it or not. It was just that sense of comfort, that sense of ease that came by knowing it was there. Now, obviously, that ease and comfort is a term from the big book. It's not how I would have called it back then. However, that went from just being under my pillow to eating that. And it's not the nicest thing to eat. But that sense of ease and comfort, it stopped having its power. And so I needed to go to that next step. That took me through many years from, being a young child of probably 4 years old, as I said, the beginning, to being about 12 or 13 years old and being taken to a doctor specifically for overweight adolescents. And all I remember was me being happy because food made me happy. And when I went to see this doctor, he sat there across the table, basically as I see it, lecturing me about how I needed to stop eating as I was, otherwise I would die early. And once that weight was on, it was very difficult to take it off. And the only thing I remember was the lecture and one more thing. This doctor, his name was Dr. Lowry. Somebody who I've made a living amends to, but if I ever bumped into him, he's probably dead at this point, but if I ever did, I would make more amends to him. I turned around and I said, "You're clearly an effing fat bee." I won't use those words because it's being recorded. His belly was literally hanging over his trousers, and I was like, "How on earth can you lecture me about weight when it's obvious that you're overweight too?" And I basically was just a horrible, angry child, 12 or 13 years old. And my life just went on like that for many, many years. I then started work within catering. I mean, what better place for a compulsive eater than working in and around food? But not only in and around food, I became what's called a pastry chef. So if you imagine everything, I see a smiling face, I'm thinking somebody knows what I'm talking about. So thank you. So everything, high fat, high sugar, high flour, all the things that a lot of us have issues with, I was around them day in, day out. I probably ate as much as I cooked, and I was grateful that I didn't lose that job. If I was in management, I probably would have sacked me. And then, as I said, continue and eat like that, and I got up to about 30 stone. Again, sorry, you'll have to work that out. But it significantly overweight, like life limiting overweight. And nothing changed. I didn't want to change. I didn't want to lose weight. Yeah, I went to a few pain ways. I went on some tablets. One time I went on a tablet, doctor put me on, which was to stop my body absorbing fat. One of the nasty side effects of that tablet was that your body would rapidly expel any food that contained fat. Don't need to be more graphic than that, I'm sure you can imagine. And all I did was, if I had that tablet, I would just make sure I stayed near the bathroom. It didn't change how I ate. I just made sure that the things that I needed were there. Yeah, continued like that. And then my father died. Life became a little bit more real at that point, and I went into a mental health spiral. And food was still my solace, still my safe place, still my security blanket. And I probably would have went on for many, many years in that way, just food being that support. One of my last food experiences before coming into OA, I got sepsis. Probably got bit by something, but I got sepsis. I am traveling home on the train from my mum's house to where I was living in Glasgow. And I ended up in hospital, really, really ill. The hospital were able to sort me out and bring me through the other side. And on discharge, the discharging doctor, the doctor that had been tending me for a few weeks, said, using the name that I used at the time, said, "Now that you've had sepsis, there's an increased likelihood that you'll get it back, probably within the next 10 years. By the grace of God," that's been about 6 years ago, so it's not been safe so far. But he says, "That doesn't concern me, quite frankly." He says, "What concerns me more is you would be dead well before that 10 years. Because the amount of weight that you're putting on that I've seen from your charts, your body will not be able to cope with that. You will die. You will be dead within 5 to 10 years." Do you know what my solution to that was? To get discharged, go home, and order 2 12-inch pizzas and enough Chinese food for a family of four. That was my solution to that problem. I'm going to die. I might as well enjoy it while I'm here, right? And as I said, that would have continued for a long time. Then COVID happened, and I was locked down with my sister. And I can't tell you what happened. I was a compulsive overeater. I still am, but I was compulsive eating. Then one day, and this is the only words I have to describe it, something inside me broke. I can't tell you what. I can't tell you how. But up until that moment, I'd never wanted to stop. And in that moment, I was like, I have to stop. And I'd loved the 12 steps for a very, very long time. My sister is an alcoholic. And in 12 years of active recovery from alcoholism, she went from being a horrible, horrible teenager to being a sister that I love today, all through Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I knew the 12 steps could change people, stop people using substances. I didn't know about any other 12-step fellowships. So I just Googled Alcoholics Anonymous for food, thinking there might be like this little part of AA where people struggle with alcohol but also struggle with food. There might just be something that is out there. Then, on the back of that Google, I found something called Overeaters Anonymous and something called the 15 questions. And if anybody's never used those, please go and do them. And it's literally like, do you do this behavior? Do this behavior? Now, back in the good old days, 6 years ago, that was just one long list. Now it's an actual quiz that you answer, and after a few questions, it stops. But I had the full list, and out of 15 questions, I hit 13. Now, knowing what I know now, those other two questions are about restriction or about anorexia, bulimia type behaviors, behaviors that I've never struggled with, by the grace of God. At the end, it says, if you have more than a couple of these, you either have or are well on your way to having a problem with food. Please join a meeting of OA today. And so I text my sister, who was living in Glasgow. She was living about 200 miles away. And I says, do you think I might have a problem with food? And this was the moment. This was the moment that I came into OA. I'd never been to an OA meeting yet, but this was the moment. What my sister said allowed me to be a compulsive eater. She didn't say, well, of course, obvious to everybody around me. She didn't say, well, of course you are. She didn't say, well, no, don't be silly. Just be kind to yourself. She says, why? I says, because I found this thing called OA. And she says, why don't you just go along, see what it's like and see if it's right for you. She just gave me permission. She gave me enough permission to allow me to explore me. And in that moment, I attended my first meeting. Because of my sister, I knew three things. If I was going to be in a 12-step fellowship, I had to do three things. One of them was to get a sponsor. One of them was to do service. And one of them was to work the 12 steps. Didn't know what the 12 steps were. Knew what a sponsor was. And kind of knew what service was, because I come from a religious background where service and doing stuff for others is a really, really big important part of that. And so in my first meeting, I literally said, look, I need a sponsor. Now, my sister told me there's no such thing as a bad sponsor. There's the wrong sponsor for you, but there's no such thing as a bad sponsor. So just work with somebody. And if it's not working, go to somebody else. But make sure you have somebody who is your person. And so I started working through the steps very rapidly with my first sponsor, a beautiful woman from Colorado. And I went from eating enough for a family of four on a daily basis and being probably somewhere near 30 stone. I have no idea what I weighed at that point. To weighing and measuring my food at every meal, not eating a single thing. And I was blessed, so, so very blessed with abstinence from day one. My sponsor said, look, this is the food that you're going to eat. She didn't say, like, you need to eat so much meat. She just said, these are the guidelines. So this amount of vegetables, this amount of meat, this amount of fats, and just said, stick to that. Try it for 30 days. If it's not working for you, we can try something else. And as is, work in the 12 steps, work up till step 9 within about 3 months. I was able to maintain abstinence. So many people in this room will know what I mean. You get that first 24 hours, like, wow. Then you get that first week. And then it's that first month. And then it's 3 months. And then 6 months. And then a year. And then 2 years. And it's like, when's this going to stop? And let me tell you my experience of when it stops. It stops when I stop. About just over 2 years ago now, I had a relapse. And the reason I had a relapse was not because I stopped believing in a higher power. It wasn't because I stopped coming to meetings. I was still going to meetings. It wasn't because of any of that. It was because I stopped doing the basic things. Yes, I believed in a higher power. Was I praying or was I connected? No. Yes, I was coming to meetings. Was I sharing? No. Was I deepening my spiritual life in other ways or doing what I needed to? No. I was doing too much service. At one point, I was on the board of two regions and I was the chair of two intergroups. That's probably unhealthy, but one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me in Ovaries Anonymous was that relapse, because it allowed me to just stop, take a breath. Because I'd been so lucky for so long, because my higher power blessed me with abstinence, I'd taken things for granted. And I was like, I can just do this on my own. I don't need to do everything the OA way. Do it Charlotte's way. Charlotte knows better. Charlotte doesn't. Charlotte's tried her way for over 40 years. Trust me. She doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. But what I know today is that OA does work. As long as I do the beautiful things, go to meetings, talk to other people, share. Today, because of work and all of that, I have some beautiful things. Firstly, as I said at the beginning of my share, I've lost 7 stone. Absolutely tremendous. Most of you will know during this hour, I am generally exercising. My exercise machine is literally about 3 foot away. Do you know, for 37 of the 40 years I've been on this planet, exercise? You must be having an absolute laugh. If anybody said, oh, Charlotte's doing exercise, they would have laughed at you and said, what, via the kebab shop? Like that just wouldn't have been a thing. Whereas today I'm able to do that. Other things I'm able to do. I have a job. I've been employed by the same company. I've received three promotions and I'm trusted to look over a whole area of the business. I don't work in catering anymore. I don't work with food. I work in an environment that is suited to my needs and my body and my recovery. But I'm trusted. What I can tell you is in those years when I worked in catering, when I was a pastry chef, I was not trusted. I found out things since by making amends that I was watched carefully because of things that I did that I didn't even remember or know that I did. I also know that I came this close to getting sacked, but somebody went to bat for me. Somebody who had a relative who was addicted to drugs went to bat for me and said, I do not believe that this is her behavior. I believe this is the behavior of somebody who is addicted. He didn't know what to, but he could recognize the signs and he went to bat for me. And for that, I will be grateful because I do not have that black stain on my career file because of him. My higher power has protected me in my pre-recovery life, in my recovery life, in my relapse life. I'm so grateful to be a member of Ovaries Anonymous. I'm so grateful for my recovery. And I'm so grateful today to make the right choices. I don't have to work. Yeah, do I love cooking? Do I love working caring? Yes. Is it healthy for me? No. I love being with family. But unfortunately, due to being transgender, some of my family are toxic. So I keep away from them. Prior to loving my higher power, I would have needed to be everything to everyone. Today I don't. Today I can just say they have their own views. That's okay. I can let go. Thank you very much for letting me share some of my story with you. Hopefully you've been able to take something from my story that's benefited you. And if not, thank you for listening anyway. I do appreciate it. And with that, I will pass.